This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Well, it's New Year's Eve, and we're all hoping for a great 2013, because 2012 was a tough one. And for people looking for work, the challenges were numerous. The fragile recovery, the high cost of living. Massachusetts' unemployment rate was around 7%. All that means landing the right job is not easy.
But take heart. Our next guest has some ideas that might help. She's not a career counselor or an expert on the economy or the job market, but she is an authority on one particular personal skill that can help. And she says it's a skill that's in very short supply. Manners.
And let's be clear here. She won't tell you that good manners are all you need to land that job, but she will make the case that a lack of manners and etiquette can work against you. And she says it's surprising how many people get tripped up by basic lack of manners.
Jody R.R. Smith is president and owner of Manor Smith in Boston, which provides etiquette counseling to individuals, companies, and universities. She's also the author of From Clueless to Class Act, Manners for the Modern Man and Manners for the Modern Woman. And welcome to Radio Boston. Great to have you, Jody.
Thank you for having me.
So we mentioned that you do etiquette coaching programs at universities. And I'd like to ask you, first of all, what strikes you most about this generation of students when it comes to manners or etiquette? And at the risk of generalizing, what's the most important piece of etiquette training that they require?
I think this generation, compared to the ones that I've seen gone before, is that when they are rude, it's not purposeful. It's that they don't know what the right behavior is.
For example?
Well, mythical, back in the olden days, which I'm not sure ever really existed, children had dinners on a regular basis with their parents where they made eye contact, where they had conversations, where they had to answer questions like, what did you do in school today? And the generation that's coming through, it's really a very different situation. They spend so much time communicating through their thumbs that their interpersonal skills are really lacking.
So it's this whole sort of electronic digital media craze. They're on the cell phones or texting. So what do you tell them?
I talk to them about how to be bilingual. They need to be able to communicate electronically as well as face to face. And I teach them things like the eye contact triangle. So when you're making eye contact with somebody, if you look anywhere across their eyebrows, down to the middle of their upper lip, back to the eyebrows within that triangle, it looks like you're making eye contact. You don't actually need to be staring into someone's retina.
I see. And why is that important?
Well, most people who don't make eye contact, it's because they happen to be introverted or shy. But shy is not the first adjective an interviewer is going to think when you're not making eye contact. They're going to think that you're bored, disinterested, shifty, untrustworthy. So making that eye contact is an incredible interpersonal skill that's going to help them as they move forward in their career search.
And one of the points you make in your book is that the whole idea of etiquette and good manners, you make a distinction between sort of being born with a sense of sort of how to move effortlessly through the world with a sense of style and stuff that you actually can learn, right?
I believe that all of this manner stuff is things that we acquire outside the womb, that you learn as you move along. And some kids get it early on. They learn it on the playground. They're very observant, or they've had very specific teaching from their parental units. And then there's other kids that really get all the way through college who really haven't had any sort of training or background or awareness that need it when they get into the job search.
So there it is, listeners. We're talking about etiquette and the need for etiquette training, particularly for young adults as they move into the world of jobs, interviews, and other professional relationships. Do you believe that basic manners and etiquette are being taught these days, or if they're even important? And future college grads, recent college grads, do you care about etiquette? Jody, right before we went on the air, you told a fascinating anecdote. You first started doing this, you said you came to BU to coach people who are about to graduate on etiquette 16 years ago. How has it changed in that 16 years? What were you dealing with then versus what you're dealing with now?
16 years ago when I was working here at BU, we saw a lot of students who were coming in the grunge style, the flannel plaids. They may or may not have showered in the recent past. And it was a time when we were having the dot-com growth. So basically, warm bodies were being hired easily from any college campus. And then, of course, the economy changed, and suddenly students realized that there was something more they needed to do other than just be able to walk and chew gum at the same time.
I see. So that's where we are today, right?
Yes. And the students today really get it. They have their interview suits. They understand they need to really make an effort, that the job is not going to be handed to them on a silver platter.
Well, let's talk about dress, about how to dress. You're heading into an interview. What are the basic do's and don'ts when it comes to dressing or dressing appropriately?
I recommend for almost any job, you want to wear a suit, even if after you have the job, you'll never wear the suit again, because the suit is a symbol, it's a signal, it's a clue and cue to the interviewer that you respect yourself, that you respect the other people's time and energy, and that you're taking the process seriously.
So the same for men and women, a business suit for both?
Yes, correct.
All right. Now, it's interesting you mentioned that. Not long ago, I'm very happy to say that I ended up with a great job here, but not long ago in this industry, I applied for a job, came close to getting it, didn't get it, heard afterwards that the folks on the staff thought I had dressed too casually, which indicated I hadn't taken it seriously enough. I was floored because I actually didn't think that that would matter so much.
We make a lot of assumptions and presumptions about people during our initial interactions, and that's really the first 5 to 7 seconds. And so your physical appearance becomes very important to communicate to others how seriously you're taking the activity.
Now, can you go too far with dress? In other words, can you overdress, and is that a problem?
I'm so glad that you asked that. So, for example, if you're interviewing at a very formal organization, you don't want to go so far that you say, I'm going to wear a tuxedo or a ball gown. You definitely need to be one or two notches above what you think someone in your position would wear at that particular company or corporation.
So you don't want to show them up. You don't get extra points for being for trying extra hard, necessarily.
No, and in fact, some of the people that I work with that I coach that are really into the job will go scout out the site ahead of time and watch people walking in and out of the lobby to see what the dress code is for that particular organization, and then dress up a little bit from that when they go in for the interview.
We're talking to Jody R.R. Smith. She's president and owner of Manor Smith in Boston. We're talking about manners and etiquette and the challenges that college grads in particular are dealing with as they head out into the world. Let's go to Fran, who's calling from Newburyport. Hi, Fran.
Hi. I have a question for you, Jody. I think this is a concern of mine that you might want to address or have some tips for. What about adults who show problems with manners when they're eating, for example, in the workplace or at a restaurant, and will put their fingers into their mouth and try to swipe food out of their teeth? And I've seen this from, you know, very well-educated adults on down. Do you have any suggestions for that?
Yes, I want you to send them to me. We do private tutorials. And in fact, Gracious Dining is one of our best-selling programs that we do with companies and corporations. And we train entire departments or divisions at a time, because how you eat, especially with clients, says so much about you. We presume competence based on observable behaviors. And dining skills are certainly an observable behavior. So if someone's not eating well, they're picking at their salad with their finger, they're not using their napkin appropriately, they're eating the dinner roll from the client instead of their own dinner roll, then other people are going to presume that they're incompetent.
Fran, thanks so much. Jody, question. Are these standards changing, standards around manners and etiquette? My sense is that society is becoming less formal, less insistent on these kinds of standards. So, you know, to what extent does it remain relevant? To what extent do these standards evolve and change?
Yeah, I like to say etiquette evolves. Mm-hmm. Etiquette does change to keep pace with the society, and it is very culturally specific. But how lax we are with our manners really is something that swings back and forth in terms of the pendulum. The weaker the economy is, the more interested we tend to be in manners. But what really happens is when you have good manners, I don't say, oh, wow, that lovely gentleman, what good manners he had. Instead, I think I really enjoyed interacting with that person. Hmm. But if you have bad manners, like you sneeze into your napkin and blow your nose in the middle of the restaurant, then I'm going to say, oh, that bad manners, I don't want to have dinner with him ever again.
Hmm. You also say that when it comes to etiquette, you make an important distinction between rules and guidelines. You say it's important not to think of these as rules, right?
Yes, this is one of the things that differentiates me from a lot of the other experts out there who like to say that etiquette is all about rules. And for every etiquette rule you've ever been taught, I can think of at least one exception. So when I talk to students especially, I talk to them about guidelines, things that you're going to do at a Boston law firm firm are going to be very different than the things that you do at a software company out in Cambridge. And they need to be able to be smart enough to be able to figure out when to apply the guidelines and when to completely ignore them.
Let's take a couple more calls. Betsy is calling from Boxborough. Hi, Betsy.
Hi there. I just tuned in a minute ago and heard you talking about proper dress for going to job interviews. I have a 20-year-old son who's obviously still in college, but he wants to get an internship, and these are very, very competitive. At the moment, he does not own a suit, as most 20-year-old boys, I believe, don't. But he does have a really nice blue blazer and khaki pants. Would that work for him, or should I get him a suit?
Good question. Can't go wrong with a blue blazer and khaki pants, can you?
Well, it depends. If everybody else is wearing a full pinstripe suit, then yes, you can. So I'm a big fan.
I stand corrected.
I'm a big fan of the khaki and blue blazers. I believe that for men, that is a standard they should have in their wardrobe. But if he's looking for an internship in a competitive situation, he needs to have the suit. And if he doesn't believe you, send him into Career Services. They will tell him the same exact thing.
All right, Betsy. Well, there's your answer. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Alex, who's calling from Brighton. Hi, Alex.
Hello. So I just moved from Nevada, and I met with kind of a mentor guy out in Boston when I was coming out here to look for a job. And I dressed up really nicely. I felt like I was overdressed, honestly. But then he offered me a job a couple of weeks later. I didn't expect it. He didn't have a listing at the time. And he told me after the fact that it was because I was kind and courteous and was dressed up nicely, and it's the best job I could have possibly imagined right out of college.
Well, Alex, congratulations. That's a great story, and I guess a great testimony there for the importance of dressing well and paying attention to these kinds of standards, right?
And what Alex was doing was actually called an informational interview.
Yeah.
And if people don't understand what to do for those, especially if they're still in college, visit Career Services. They will teach you. Many Career Services will encourage you to do job interviews, informational interviews, because they turn into jobs. So I'm very proud that you knew to dress appropriately. Good job.
Jody, Lil Pecan tweeted us this. What's Jody's opinion on calling everyone by their first name? What happened to Mr. and Ms.?
I like to say that first names are like vampires, that if you're being chased through Commonwealth Avenue, you simply need to get to your dorm room. You don't even have to shut the door. The vampire cannot come in until you've invited them in. Until somebody specifically invites you to call them by their first name, you should default to their more formal title, especially if they're about 10 years or more older than you.
Hmm. And you can't really be faulted for being too formal. So it's better to err on the side of Mr. or Ms. rather than leaping to a first name, right?
It's better to be more respectful than less. Yeah. Absolutely.
So in your book, From Clueless to Class Act, you have a section that deals with something that I've always struggled with, small talk, how to be good at small talk. How important is this? And isn't this something that you're just born with the ability to do or not?
No, small talk is absolutely a learned behavior, and I can tell you this because I am naturally an introvert, like didn't go to my high school prom kind of shy, and I taught myself how to be able to interact with other people. It is a big hurdle because as young children, we're taught don't talk to strangers.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly you're an adult and you're expected to be able to talk to strangers. The key is to be prepared. You want to think about who's in the room, what you are doing in the room, why you're there, and what would you like to talk about. So if you like talking about the weather, great. Mm. Otherwise, go prepared with a topic so that you're able to draw them in.
And what about body language, including shaking hands, looking at people in the eye you mentioned earlier, but I'm even thinking about posture, sort of how important is that? Do you sort of have recommendations around that?
Yes. When you're meeting people for the first time, clearly you want to be standing if you're able in order to shake hands. You want to square your shoulders towards them because that shows you're interested.
Well, Jody Smith, thank you so much for coming in and giving us some guidance on manners and etiquette. Never too late for some of us.
It's my pleasure. If anyone has an etiquette emergency, they can email me through the Mannersmith website, mannersmith.com, and I will respond to them.
Very good. That's Jody R.R. Smith. She's president and owner of Mannersmith in Boston. She's also the author of From Clueless to Class Act, Manners for the Modern Man and Manners for the Modern Woman, and we have an excerpt on our website.
Coming up, the Boston Globe's Sebastian Smee joins us to talk about the year in art. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.